Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Draft 101 tonight with Broadus, Bobby, and Zach Wolchuk here in the building downstairs. What time does that start, Bob?
6:45. The doors will open, and we'll be hanging out. We'll have free food from Whataburger, so that'll be good right there. And then also, yeah, myself, Brian Broadus, Zach Wolchuk, answering all your draft questions.
Chop is honeymooning in Italy, so it's Sean Sharif and our Cowboys insider with you on your home of America's team, The Real Thing, next Thursday with the best round one and draft coverage around. One of our favorites from the Super Bowl is joining us right now, the former Falcons general manager, part of Sumer Sports, Thomas Dimitroff, back with us on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, man. How are you?
Gentlemen, great to be here. What, Choppy's out? I mean, I thought he was on like a bench press comp somewhere in Vegas.
I know. He came back to us one day at the Super Bowl and said, yeah, I was over there with Dimitroff for like 10, 15 minutes. So I was afraid you'd be disappointed that we had you on and he wasn't here. So I'm a little bit worried about that. But yeah, he's out repping it somewhere in between. Give me an Italian stereotype.
I don't know, meatballs.
Oh, meatball. Way to go, Bob. Very easy. Thomas, how do you view the draft today differently with Sumer and everything else compared to when you were Falcons GM?
It's a great question. I think I'm so much more open-minded to the understanding of augmenting appropriately, keyword, with proper data out there, right? I think a lot of us were flying by the seat of our pants. Not that we weren't good, and not that there's not a lot of really good football men out there, but I think we are short-sighted, generally speaking, by not utilizing the data as a supplement. And I think that's where I would have been a lot more aggressive, and I would be if I ever got back into that position.
Okay, so give us an example using the data and how it's not being utilized in terms of what?
Yeah, look at it this way. When you're writing up players and you're subjectively having your scouts, their eyes on it, on the players, and they write up 30 metrics for a quarterback, for instance, I would 100% require my data group to provide a sort of juxtaposition line on as many of those position specifics that we could pull data into so we could compare, i.e. short accuracy. We watch a quarterback, we evaluate him with our eye, and then we take the short accuracy from the data, and we decide where the differences are, and we dig in. That's a great example of how I do it on many, many elements of the game.
So I'm going to give you an RJ theory and see what you think. Because of the miss rate in the first round, RJ sometimes takes shots at personnel evaluators, and he'll say, you don't really know what quarterback's going to be better. You just know you need a quarterback, so pick one. So if the Giants don't love Shador, they should still pick him because there's a 50% chance that they're wrong and you fix your quarterback position. What do you think of that?
I think it's tough to be kind of to throw a dart at 50%. If that's truly what you're alluding to, that's not, maybe you're exaggerating a little bit on that respectfully, but I think, you know, chances are going to be taken. We know at that position, and we know at the defensive end, you know, pass rushers, so many mistakes are made. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of planning. You also not only have to get the player right, But you better make sure that your offensive coordinator and your head coach have the right game plan to make sure you're not putting that new quarterback in a spot. Matt Ryan, we threw him 22 to 25 times. We had Michael Turner around him. Eventually, we had Tony Gonzalez. Get the right people around him and don't extend them early. That's a big key. So I say it's just very important to make sure you know what you have. Now, by the way, the last thing is you better make sure that that personality is going to be able to be handled by that organization, i.e. Shadur. Great family, of course, his dad, et cetera, et cetera. But that kid is on top of it. And if you don't have the confidence and the swagger as a GM and a head coach to deal with it, I think it's, you know, it can be the wrong situation. Not suggesting that with the Giants at all, just suggesting in general.
Former GM Thomas Dimitroff here on 105.3 The Fan. You interviewed with the Titans, right?
I did.
What would you do with their number one pick? And did you have to have that answer already for them whenever you interviewed months ago?
I did have to have that answer. That was one of the things I addressed. There's no question I have not been notorious for trading back. I've always been a trade-up guy because I'm about not sitting on your hands. Man, you have to be aggressive in this league, and you can't just wait for things to happen. That said, when you're at one and the availability to move back 5, 10, 15 spots and gain a lot of draft booty is a very attractive element. However, Tennessee, the more I dig into that, you realize they need someone to spin the ball. I know they have Levis there, and they're trying to figure out if that's right or wrong. But, man, to pass up an opportunity to get who you think might be the top. Now, this is a tough quarterback group. You guys know that. Not that they're not good.
Yeah.
But the difference in this year's draft class from last year's, just recently, is significant. That's a big deal on Tennessee. Cam Ward, it seems like that should be their pick. Though I would entertain right up to the minute to see what you could do on a lot of those other elements. They need a lot on their offensive line building, too.
How are you handling the Colorado duo? Travis Hunter comes in, and he goes, if I'm not playing two ways, he probably means, I'd rather not play football. How are you handling Hunter primary position, the two-way question, and then all of the noise with Shadur?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I would say on the dual role thing, I mean, what separates this guy from many over the last few years, of course, is the ability to play both versatility. At every position, it's key. It makes you more money. It makes you more notorious at every level. This kid has the athleticism and the requisite speed and traits to thrive on both sides. Look, you need him as a corner coming out. There's a dearth of corners, I would say, more than there are receivers. I would also sprinkle him in as a receiver to waste his abilities as a defensive back. Just playing receiver, I think, is a short sight.
Thomas Dimitroff joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. When you look at what the Cowboys need right now, they're sitting there at pick number 12, and it feels like the last few years for the Cowboys, they've been right on the edge of where people are talking about the first round grades might dry up. But when you look at Dallas at 12, where would you be looking at if you were at the Cowboys and say, all right, this is kind of where I think we might see a guy slide to us there at 12 that would really help out what we're looking for?
Well, look, I mean, it's very apparent that you guys need both a number two receiver and you need a strong running game. I mean, that running game, obviously, the back end of the 20s in a lot of categories, and I could dig into a lot of those Sumer analysis, but I won't right now. The reality is those are two needs. You know that, as well as corner, et cetera, et cetera. I know that there's a lot of talk out there about Tet McMillan coming there. He is a viable candidate for sure at that spot. Do you really want at 12 to take Ashton Jeanty? I mean, hell of a football player and back. Can build around him like the Falcons are building around their running back. Is that really the right move to make? I think they'd be better suited to build that number two receiver. They have defenses in your division, as you guys know, with both Philly, of course, and Washington, man, that are just rocking with defensive-minded coaches. And I think you have to up that game. We all know that. That's not magic, of course.
So Bijan, Saquon, Jahmyr Gibbs, they haven't totally changed your mind about that first-round running back value?
No, they have. They're wonderful players, and I think it's so great for our league to have them back in the stance of instead of just completely disregarding them. It was ridiculous, I thought. I'm a huge believer, again, very, very quickly, retroactively, what Michael Turner did for Matt Ryan in his development. I know you don't have a young quarterback, but an offense was vital for Matt's evolution, right? And you have to have that run game to take the pressure off your quarterback, whether he's aged or not. That's a big deal. I love what running backs do. I do concern myself that 4 years in of running a guy like Bijan Robinson, who is great, one of my favorites to play, how long does that last? And you have to think about it. However, this is a here and now time. You're exactly right. What about in 4 years you run the heck out of a guy like Genty, and then all of a sudden, you know, you have to look at that. I think as a GM and as an owner slash GM, you have to look at the value of that. And then you also have to think about the value. There are some other really good backs out there that I think you can get in day two and three. Now, it's tough to pass up some of these special guys.
Thomas, we have this debate when you talk about that first contract. I'm always saying no. I need the two-contract player, especially if it's going to be a first-round pick. Others will say, will you go and get Zeke as a finishing piece, and you just come to terms with that second contract not being there or maybe haunting you? How do you view that with your first and second-round players?
It's a great point. I'm a huge believer in retention rate. It was one of the things I focused on a lot. And if you look back at the Falcons over those years that we were there, we were one of the highest retention rates because we have to build through the draft. We have to be mindful, be creative with the next contract. 100% agree with you. However, interestingly enough, it's not always that easy, right? There are things that play into it, and all of a sudden you have a character issue, you have an injury issue, whatever it may be, and then you're flailing on that second contract. It is imperative as much as possible to do that, and I think focusing on that and making sure that you have the complete package that way, so to speak, that you know that you're not going to be can I say pissing up the proverbial tree? Reality is, as a team builder, I mean, it's so important to make sure that you have that in mind, and you have to approach it that way. If it comes up short, you look your owner in the eye, you take a deep gulp as a PPD or whoever it is answering to Jerry, and you're like, all right, well, we missed on that and move forward.
Which receiver would you prefer if you were here in Dallas and you were looking at that 12th pick? If Tetero McMillan's there along with Matthew Golden from Texas, who seems to be building up a lot of buzz, two different type of receivers, which one would you prefer for what Dallas does?
Well, I think, you know, with CD being who he is and how special he is, like he's for sure a top 10, right, and most of where he is. I like the idea of Tet because I think his size is a good complement. We had a lot of success with good size, strong receivers in Atlanta. Obviously Julio Jones, but Roddy White and we were thriving there. And then have your third as a guy that has more, you know, movement ability is how I look at that. I think that's where I would go with it. I mean, there are some other great receivers out there. I mean, Torrey Holton, you know, Horton is a hell of a receiver as well. Andrew Armstrong out of Arizona. Or Arkansas, excuse me, and there are some guys like that. There are some special players out there that are a good-sized guy, Pat Bryant at Illinois. I think these are the kind of guys that I think you need to focus on and decide. But in the end, I just think that people aren't off on that. I think that is a really viable choice for you guys.
Thomas Dimitroff joining us here on 105 Through the Fan, talking a little bit about the NFL draft and what the Cowboys might have at their disposal. Let's say McMillan does get snatched up before 12, as a guy who initially it seemed like was getting talked about as a top five type of player. If McMillan's not there, which direction do you think would make sense for the Cowboys? Would it be something in the trenches, maybe go get an offensive lineman like Kelvin Banks, or potentially say, all right, let's address something on the defensive line, get a guy with some upside like Mykel Williams? Which direction would you go if the receivers get a little tapped out by the time you get to 12?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I would love for Dallas to get back to building that O-line with the losses that they had this year. You know, with the retirements and such, I just think that would be a great place to go. There are some damn good interior offensive linemen and O linemen, honestly, that have tackle slash guard ability, back to versatility. I think this is a really cool draft to mess around in that area, so to speak. And that's where I would probably go. I don't know if the receiver isn't there again, back to drafting that high as a running back. I'm not sure if that is where I'd go. But there are some great edge rushers and interior D linemen that I think that you guys could benefit from greatly as well. I'm playing the fence here, guys, but the reality is this is a good draft to be in the middle of the draft, middle to the front of the draft like you guys are in Dallas, to land someone who can be a game changer. And then you'll continue to build through the beginning, you know, the 12th all the way through the rounds, I think you can pull off some legitimate players.
All right, so Dallas, you mentioned there's a deeper draft. Steven Jones talked about this the other day, that they feel like it's maybe not top heavy, but it stretches pretty deep. They don't have a fourth rounder, so if they were to trade back, when you were in the league, who would you look at and go, oh, I know this guy will be, there's a good chance this guy would be itching to come up. Like you said, you're a trade-up guy. Who do you look around to the league and say, that's a trade-up guy, that's probably somebody they should give a call to?
Well, you know, just so you guys know, I worked the line like a madman prior to the drafts. I was on the phone probably 2 weeks before, gauging everyone's interest. I think it wasn't in any way like kind of flipping and people going, oh, TD's calling again, trying to trade and trying to garner information. But it's imperative as a general manager to be aggressive that way so you can set the tone going into the draft, as you're suggesting, narrowing it down to 5, 6, or 7 guys. I mean, look, there are certain guys out there. Howie is always going to be, you're never going to do that. I'm just using him as an example in Philly. I can't imagine in-division trading. I'm not a fan of that as much as possible. It really agitates me. But there are guys in line like that who I think are aggressive like that. And I would say right now, you're putting me on the spot, so I can't really give you an answer. I know there are people out there that are on the edge of their seat. They're waiting for calls, and the last thing they're waiting for is throw out a scenario to them and whet their appetite and have them interested in calling you back closer to the draft or on draft day.
Thomas, give us a refresher again on Sumer.
Sumer Sports right now, sumersport.com. Obviously, we're really excited. We have 600 years of NFL experience. We are a combination of subjective, which is the iScout, as well as the objective, which is 50-plus data scientists and engineers in this.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
This group that work really diligently, so we get the propeller heads. God bless them. I love them. That's not disrespectful. And the foot heads. And we're working together, and we work well together. We check and balance each other as an organization. We are roster management. Remember, we're not game-time decision-making. We're about roster management, roster building. Honestly, for both the NFL and NCAA, we're really breaking hard into the NCAA as well. We're excited about it.
Great to have you back on, man. Sorry you missed Choppy. Knock out a chin-up for him, and we'll catch up with you next time. Enjoy the draft.
Thanks, guys. Always great.
The great Thomas Dimitroff on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Did Klay Thompson justify his signing last night against the Kings. Mavs, Rangers, Stars, next on The Fan.
Meanwhile, the Mavs this quarter, 5 of 6 from 3. Williams has 2 triples. Thompson with his 4th. Klay Thompson catching fire.
ESPN with the call, the Klay-in redemption. After he went 0 for 10 as a member of the Warriors against the Sacramento Kings, he finally breaks it. I think he missed his first two last night, so it was an 0 for 12 streak in his head a little bit. But Klay Thompson goes off in the second quarter with, what, four threes in 3 minutes. They blow away the Sacramento Kings, and the Dallas Mavericks are one win away in Memphis tomorrow night from moving on as the official number 8 seed against the Oklahoma City Thunder. You had Anthony Davis lead the way with 27 points. I love the attitude that PJ Washington brought. And then you got 3 quick threes off the bench from Brandon Williams in that second quarter as well, as the Mavs scored 44.
Look, if you want to talk about bright spots, few as they've been over the last few months, Brandon Williams has absolutely been one. He's fun to watch. He's somebody who has been a legit contributor. He's a good story. That's great. Klay Thompson, awesome yesterday, that hot shooting streak he got into. There's still obviously a little bit of the feeling of like, what are you potentially costing yourself in terms of a chance to move up in the lottery? And what are you costing yourselves in terms of reinforcing bad decisions the more that you win? That's one of the things that I think you have to be concerned with.
Well, you have to feel good for Klay no matter what. You can want the Mavs to lose. 75% of the Tolos yesterday voted. They wanted the Kings to win that game. But you have to feel good for Klay. He's trying to sit there and hang on to what's left. Feels like he got bamboozled here because they were always planning on not re-signing Luka. And Klay got sold on being a final piece to try to win a title. Before this game, Klay was actually asked to grade himself. Grade yourself with your first Mavs season so far.
My season individually?
Yes.
Give it a B. You know, I thought I shot the ball decent, you know, nearly 40 from three. I'm really grateful to play in 72 games and be a consistent presence in the lineup. That's something that I could really hang my hat on.
So that's great for him, too, to play 72 games. 14 points, 3.5 boards, 41%. From the field on the season, 39% from three. Were you expected more, less? Last night, of course, everyone's going to say that's why you bring in Klay Thompson for moments and games like that. He went from 18 a game with the Warriors last year to 14 this year.
Yeah, I think before the season when we talked about this, I had said I would expect him to do around that or do around Tim Hardaway Jr. numbers, like above that. And he ultimately, he shot it more efficiently than Tim Hardaway Jr. did, but he was not ever the type of impact that you wanted. Now, here's the other thing is that when Luka got traded, we talked about how his numbers with Luka in the lineup versus out of the lineup were night and day in terms of the efficiency because of what Luka does to collapse the defense and kick it out and get open looks for Klay. That was something where that was a big impact in terms of what he was going to be able to do. So playing so much time without Luka obviously impacted some of that. But yeah, this is about probably what you should have expected from Klay and his level of play at this point in his career as a guy who's 34, 35 years old and has had some of the injuries that he's had.
So they are 6.5 point underdogs to the Grizz. I thought the Mavs would win last night. I think they're going to lose tomorrow night. So you want to hang on to any type of draft hope and dreams and not want Nico to feel better about his decisions. I think you're going to get what you want, even though I don't want Ja Morant to succeed in any way.
Do you know what one of my favorite things to do with the Mavericks is now, by the way?
Turn it off.
There's that. Every single day, I will just go over to their Twitter account randomly, and I just want to be like, let me look for a post and see what kind of reactions did that get. So yesterday I had to go to the hype video they posted with Kyrie all in it. And he goes, we're going to leave everything on the floor. And some of the responses they got, hopefully including Nico's letter of resignation. Somebody else just said, Kyrie isn't playing. Talking about how he was so prominent in their video.
All they do is use shields now. Anthony Davis was the shield to congratulate Paige Beckers. And they're desperate to include Kyrie in anything because he knows they know that we won't attack him.
Aura edits don't really work for y'all right now. What are you going to leave on the floor? A pitiful roster? Just over and over and over again. People just crush anything they put out.
Put on the lie detector for Rick Welts in the meeting the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Asked about the CEO who compared the trade to Monte Ellis leaving town. Rick Welts was asked about all the financial losses and just bleeding, hemorrhaging money in merchandise and tickets and everything else. He said, well, we have a season ticket renewal rate between 75 and 80%. That doesn't mean that there's a segment of a fan base that doesn't feel alienated right now. And I think that we hear them. Do you believe that there has been a 75 to 80% season ticket renewal rate?
No, if there has been, then people are who are talking behind the scenes to, you know, various people in media are lying then, who have told people it's lower than that and they've lost a lot of money.
Tolo Michael texted me yesterday. He's the ticket broker who has never hooked me up in 15 years. He just loves to show me what connections he has. He canceled yesterday. He sent me the letter saying, I'm done. I'm out. I'm over and done with. And he said that Nui and McMahon on with us yesterday were kind of the final nails in the coffin. The Nui Scruggs interview got as much great interview reaction as I've seen in a long time. So props to the new dog from NBC5 who joined us yesterday. Boy, during the expressway.
The YouTube on the comments on his video we posted yesterday, they loved his, you're not scared? This is the city that killed the president. You know that, right?
Damn. So I had someone ask me, say, yo, Sharif, you love interviews and all that stuff. What would you have asked in that meeting? Or what do you think was left on the table? So I jotted down just some questions mm-hmm. that I would have for follow-ups if I was invited to the secret room at the AAC. Why are we in this setting? Like, why did you set it up like this? It feels sketchy. Why are we doing it like this? They answered, do you regret the trade? Have you been caught off guard in any way by the outrage? Nico said that he hoped that the vitriol would have subsided due to the performance of the championship caliber team. He never got the championship caliber team to put out there. I would have loved to ask Nico, do you feel unsafe in the arena? Why aren't you sitting in your seat?
Yeah.
When do you plan to return to your seat in the arena? I'm dying to know that because he was in the stands yesterday. In Sacramento, he said he's not thinking about stepping away. What do you say to those who believe that you operated a smear campaign against Luka, that you were unnecessarily cruel? And he would say, of course, well, we didn't leak any of that stuff. But then Patrick Dumont, in what he did with that recording, yeah, the speakerphone stuff with Brad Townsend.
Yeah, that was bad. Which, I mean, that has led to... We've heard some chatter that, like, they know Dumont's not good in front of a mic. And they're trying, like, crazy to try and find somebody around here to give him media training. And they haven't been able to find anybody really yet who's, like, willing to work with them. Because that's it. They're so toxic.
Wow.
Nobody wants to align with them right now. They are
PR
so,
firms are saying thanks, but no thanks.
They're so terrified of being aligned with this... just awful brand right now.
Do you have any PR regret with the way you handled anything? That could have been an opportunity for them to give a little bit and say, the fan thing out of the arena, the idea of censorship, we regret that. You know what I mean? Like, we regret that these Luka stories from somewhere, not us, have leaked about conditioning or not being all in or being a championship type guy. It'd be nice if they would have, you know, admitted that we should have included Dirk in some of our statements. Would you want any do-overs? Would you like to do anything over again? What about Kyrie's timeline? Why the misunderstanding over Mark Cuban's personnel control, where it felt like Cuban got swindled and had the rug pulled out from under him? So those are some of my additional questions.
Is that not just an all-time, like, snake move, though? Like, Mark Cuban brought him to the, like, gave him the role that he ultimately wanted.
No, I paid you $4 billion. I'm not snaking you. I gave you a $4 billion check.
Dumont did. I'm not talking about Dumont snaking him. I'm talking about Nico making the play that McMahon insinuated of, here's the guy who brought you in. I'm sure Nico represented it as, yeah, we're here, buddy. And then as soon as the sale went through, get him the hell out. Get him out. Get him out.
Well, we'll see. McMahon thought he was dropping the article. Tim thought they were going to lose last night. So we'll preview that at 9. The Dirk and Cuban piece that at some point is going to come out.
I will say, by the way, I know Windhorst said yesterday, like, well, I mean, Dirk's not part of the organization. Like, as much as he's a figure, you can't necessarily run everything by him. I think the biggest offense and the reason why it's different when we've talked about other individuals, like Michael Irvin, like you mentioned.
Like, Tony Romo shouldn't have a say in Cowboy personnel.
But
he can say over a beer, Aikman, hey, I heard about this kid. I like this kid.
Sure, but who's number one? Who's on a level with Dirk, maybe, in Jerry's? Michael Irvin probably is the one that's on a level with him. If Michael Irvin had, like we've heard, communicated as frequently.
He handed in Jalen Smith's Hall of Fame plaque.
Right, but I'm saying if he were to say, I want to be part of the organization, I want to have a role, like you've given to Michael Finley.
Yes.
And seemingly is being froze out of that. That's the bigger issue to me than the issue of...
I'd have to be convinced that Dirk wants that big of a role.
Not that big, but I think he wants to be involved. I think he does want a place. I think he's wanted a spot in there. It's like we talked about with Moose Johnston. Like, Moose Johnston clearly wants to be in personnel. Why hasn't he been given any sort of a shot here? Why hasn't he been given any sort of a small role to develop that? The Cowboys have shown that willingness before. It just feels like Dirk has shown a willingness to be involved in the organization, and the Dumont era has not allowed him to be.
Meanwhile, maybe you are all out on the Mavs, and you are watching Corey Seager heat up.
Two outs and the 0-1. Swinging a looping drive to center field, a base hit. Berger scores. Tavares comes home and scores. Simeon goes first to third. It's a two-run single for Corey Seager, and the Rangers extend their lead. It's 3-0.
Jared Sandler with the call on this station. You're home for Rangers baseball. They beat the Angels 3-1. How about Patrick Corbin? 5 1/3, one run, 6 strikeouts. Seager and Berger with 3 hits apiece, and nice job by the bullpen. 3 2/3, no runs given up. With work post Corbin. So the Rangers 2-0 against the Angels. Next game tonight, Kumar with that lopsided ERA out on the mound. 6:30 pregame, first pitch 7.
Dude, I was looking at the wins above replacement. I was actually just going to look, and I was curious how much did their average jump by getting all those hits yesterday, which they're up to 218 now from 205. So that took a significant jump for one game. But I'm now seeing the wins.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Above replacement in the side column there, Marcus Semien is minus 0.5.
Oh,
you've got minus 0.3 for Jake Berger, and then minus one, a full one, is Jock Peterson. It's just...
You got a great personality, though.
0.065. I've blown a 0.065 before.
Why this Cowboys legend is putting Cowboy players on notice about Brian Schottenheimer, that's next in Below the Belt, 105.3 The Fan. But I'm putting you on notice that the deadline is coming up to get in with Ownwell. That's Ownwell. You have someone that has your back when it comes to paying that property tax bill. Ownwell handles everything from start to finish, and they deliver top results. Put tax money back in your pockets in just months. No upfront cost. You only pay if you save. What's the catch? What's going on? Where's the hidden language? There is none. You go to ownwell.com, ownwell.com. You type in your address. You hit enter. They said, oh, this is the type of home that you have. This is the neighborhood. Here are the other values around it. This is how much you should be paying on your property tax. Oh, you paid this? Well, we're going to get you that difference. We're going to go ahead and subtract it and get you that money back. An average total savings of over $1,100. The deadline to protest, though, is May 15th for most counties. So save money on your property taxes and sign up in less than 3 minutes and start today at ownwell.com. That's ownwell.com. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Michael Irvin is putting the pressure on the Dallas Cowboys. Not Jerry Jones, not Brian Schottenheimer, but those players. More on that in just a second. Tonight, we've got Draft 101 here in the Odyssey Showroom, 4131 North Central Expressway. The doors will open at 6:45. So come on out, get in line. You're going to want to have your spot for Draft 101 this evening.
So what usually ends up being asked, is it more about prospects or are you guys explaining how you get to your opinions?
So last year was the first one I had done, and that was like 2 hours. And the first hour was just us having discussions. And then the second half of it, then the second half of it was questions from people. And so they would just ask different things about, what do you think about this player at 12? Or maybe broader questions about how to do things. It usually pertains directly to this current draft and thoughts on players, less so about process and how we do things.
How much knowledge do you find the common sports fan has about draft prospects? Like, to me, it feels like surprising how much people know about second and third rounders.
Yeah, anybody who's come into this, especially tonight, I feel like usually is, it's become like a niche thing that they're really interested in. It is kind of like when we've talked about, you've said before, and Choppy's mentioned before, the whole NFL's number one, and then college football's probably number two, and then it's like, you know, MLB, NBA, like that in terms of national interest.
Yeah, I mean, I've said that for 15 years. Choppy finally realized how dominant the NFL is.
I said you first, but I do think that you're starting to see that it can go as deep as NFL's number one, college is number two, NFL draft is number three, NFL free agency is number... Like, those are things people are interested in more than the entirety of other sports.
Yep.
And so, you know, Brian's always said, it'd be great if we didn't have to play the games. If we didn't have to play the games, I'd love it. Because it could just be the thrill of search. Well, because
you have to see if you're right or wrong.
Right, but he's just talking about the agony of when you watch a game and your stomach's turning. Like, he gets physically ill watching every second of a game. Even though he's not in it anymore. That's got to be something Sandler auctions off for his charity one day. Is just come in here and quietly watch. You could watch from behind the glass. Watch Brian Broaddus watch a game and watch how intense he gets. He just starts throwing stuff or he'll complain. And then at the end of it, he just goes.
I don't even like talking to him at practice. I don't. I go out of my way not to talk to him. I tried to like early on in the years, but he was so focused. He had the little ducklings following him, the nosebleed ducklings with all the microphones. And he just
all about the tuna.
Very intense march down the sidelines, and I just let him go. I just sit back. Who do I talk to out there? No, I talk to Nui a lot.
You talk to me while I'm out there when we're in the same spot.
You want to watch
the quarterbacks usually, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I want to watch everything.
You like to move too. You move around too much for me. I need to find the shade.
That's true. Yeah. But it is, it's so funny. I always love draft season because inevitably the Cowboys just see things differently and they pick somebody that Brian didn't want with the first pick. Or the second pick. Every year, this phrase will pass Brian's lips during draft coverage. He'll have his hands on his head, and he'll go, these guys don't care what we think. Like,
yeah.
It's like he's trying to justify to himself, like, look, we did all this work, but in the end, they don't care. I don't know why we do this.
Yes.
And so he loves this season. He's going
to
be...
When does he start to crack during the... Well, we should talk about this next week, but when does he start to draft coverage crack?
Day three, everybody's cracking by the end, except for me. I'm not even saying words by day three.
To crack when you don't participate.
Yeah, I mean, I'll participate this year because that won't happen again this year. Yeah. But it's day two, he cracked a couple years ago in like the middle of the third round. And that's when we got the whole I'm Karloftis bit where he was talking about running outside. He gets a little loopy.
Yeah.
And that's actually quite funny. But the NFL draft is coming up. In fact, we're going to play this this clip before we get to the Michael Irvin stuff. I thought this was hilarious yesterday. This is Cam Ward on his Twitch stream.
This is amazing.
Interacting with people. And he said one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard that guarantees the Tennessee Titans are not trading the number one pick.
So y'all already said really, really, Jamar.
Pause. I did a bad job setting that up. These are his top four wide receivers in the NFL. Go ahead, Peyton.
So y'all already said really, really, Jamar, Justin.
I think Chase and Jamar is like the length, like the
top. And then for my last one, Treylon Burks.
And he goes on to this thing later and says Tyjae Spears and Tony Pollard are top four running backs. You do not.
I'm not happy. I'm not totally thrilled if I'm the Titans GM. Unless it's already, which it is, a foregone conclusion. If I wanted any intrigue of someone calling me to blow me away with an offer, I'm not too thrilled that that happened over the video game communication. Treylon Burks, baby.
He says the four of the top eight skill position players in the NFL are in Tennessee.
That's my favorite clip of the week. That's amazing.
I respect how much he's clearly just caping for his boys at this point because that's clearly where he's going.
So
if there was ever a question if Cam Ward was going number one to the Titans, it's answered now. As soon as he said, I mean, Ridley was enough to begin with.
Yes.
But you can at least see, I could see somebody saying, man, he's such a clean route runner. He's been away from the game. Like, Treylon Burks. I loved Treylon Burks come out.
I want Iguodala.
Tony Pollard.
I wanted Dallas to draft Treylon Burks in the first round a couple years ago. The way he pauses, I'm going to say that he punctuates.
Oh,
Treylon Burks. He knows how ridiculous he is.
Treylon Burks.
Eddie George.
That's not even Eddie George. That's not even Kevin Dyson. That's whoever is
I'm just throwing out Eddie.
I know, but it's so ridiculous. It's so funny. All right, Michael Irvin. He was on Speak the other day, and I was trying like crazy to find this clip, run it down. I couldn't find it anywhere, but this is from Essentially Sports. They transcribed an answer he gave on Speak the other day.
Text Joy.
A lot of people text Joy. He was talking on Speak with Joy Taylor, Keyshawn Johnson, and Paul Pierce.
Because she's got a big pair of cans.
Hey!
That's a real thing.
That was on the, damn, that scared me until I realized it was Whitlock. What, give me the other one, too.
That peanut butter skinner.
That peanut butter skin.
I love that quote. Michael Irvin was talking about the pressure that exists on the team, and specifically Dak Prescott. And why is there pressure on Dak Prescott? It's not to perform or do anything else. He said it's about how you represent the decision that you were a big part of making. He said, what I need from this team is for them to come together as a family and play like they're trying to represent, quote, we made this choice. All the past years, Dallas has had the players with the skill, but I've always complained that I didn't see the collective will. This, I hope it helps them become and have that collective will, become a tighter family, get all of that DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons arguing out of the locker room, and let's get on one common goal, and that's winning for our coach because we put him in a pressure-tight situation. And I 100% agree with the thought process that this is a player hire. Like, for all the talk that so many people had said that...
I don't agree with this.
Oh, I think it is. Why don't you agree with it?
Because I don't get the feeling that they wanted Mike out. They loved a little bit more of the country club feel. CeeDee Lamb... Now, certain guys are going to say things because they're pressured, but you had many a player come out on Mike McCarthy's behalf. I'm not convinced that Dak Prescott wanted Mike McCarthy gone. Those are the vibes I'm getting from Mike Irvin and now you, that they wanted Mike out or forced him out. I don't remember that at all.
Publicly, no. But, I mean, we talked about how consistently they did have, there were guys who felt like that wasn't the right guy to be in charge. And specifically, even if it was like not a Mike issue, this was a heavy endorsement for Schottenheimer specifically. Even if it's not necessarily like get Mike out, it is.
So
I
now
agree
we're
with Schottenheimer.
No, hang on. So now we're saying, because I do have a memory.
I'll pull the tapes if you
now,
want.
Now we're saying that Brian Schottenheimer... Because this was an embarrassing hire that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones got murdered for.
Yeah, the process was awful.
So now are we changing it to Jerry and Stephen did it not because of laziness, lack of interviews, but because the players wanted Brian Schottenheimer?
Jerry and Stephen would never have even interviewed Brian Schottenheimer if there wasn't a push from the players.
Okay.
They ultimately make the decision, but the push from the players, specifically Dak, was a big part of that. This is a look.
I believe that Dak was probably a big push. I'm going to have to hear other names behind the scenes who went to Jerry and Steven and said, this is our guy.
Let's say even if the Mike decision was just, it naturally came about that Mike was out. Okay. And that wasn't a push from the players.
Yeah.
We can operate under that assumption. What is unquestioned is when you talk to people within the Cowboys is that from that moment where the search began, there was a push from big time leaders that said it needs to be Brian.
Okay. Who else?
I think that it was most of the offense, most of the leaders on offense. I think CD was a big proponent of it. I think Dak was a big proponent of it. I think that the offensive line are real big fans. And there are even guys on defense who worked with Schottenheimer a couple years ago when he was doing game plan prep for Quinn, where I think there were guys defensively that like him. Even if they haven't played under him, quote unquote,
yeah.
I think they liked him a great deal.
Okay.
And so I do think that there's a lot of pressure on them to specifically Dak. Hey, this was kind of your pick. This is the guy that you're tied to. You are absolutely...
Pressure from whom?
I think there's a pressure just in general of if you don't perform, your fate is completely tied to Schottenheimer's because it's essentially your selection. Mm. So if it goes poorly, that was also kind of your fault. You said this is who you need to be with. This is who you need to be aligned with and you need to go too.
Look, anytime Michael Irvin criticizes these players, I'm in full support. When he talks about the lack of dog, the lack of pride, the lack of work, the lack of anything, particularly around playoff time when he and Emmett and all of them come out and question it, they have nothing they can answer back with. Like, you have no ammunition. So whenever someone like Mike talks about that and calls out the internals, I love it.
Yeah, and I think that that's, I think it's a pressure Dak would welcome, but you gotta, that's the thing is that Dak and Schottenheimer see things much more similarly in terms of philosophy. And I think Dak felt like, this is the guy who's going to better represent our culture right now out of our options that are potentially available to us. This is somebody who's going to get us set right. That's why we hear the stories about, you know, Brian Schottenheimer going and delivering Whataburger to everybody. It wasn't just buying Whataburger for breakfast. It was hand delivering it to every office and talking to people. That's the kind of thing that Dak and others, when Pittman talked to us yesterday about Dak being just so magnetic and the type of leader that he is, that's the kind of stuff that Schottenheimer believes in. And so it's easy to see why he would say, all right, I want to be aligned that way. That's the guy that's going to lead us the right way.
Below the belt with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. RJ is starting the honeymoon in Italy every day at this time on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. The Mavs advance, and we now know who set up the all-time embarrassing meeting. They're being called stupid by national media members. We'll get into it. Final hour. Stars need the playoffs to start immediately, or do they? Final hour, Thursday edition, is next. But you already know about the classics from the official barbecue of the morning show in the Texas Rangers at Hurtado. You know about the beef ribs. You know about the prime brisket. Not everyone is serving prime, by the way. Gotta have that. The bacon burnt ends, the turkey, and the house-made sausage. But what about the others? The Big Papa. Half pound of prime brisket stuffed into a baked potato with garlic butter, shredded cheese, sour cream, and chives. That's my wife's go-to order. My father-in-law, the birria tacos, slow-cooked brisket, quesadilla cheese, cilantro onion, salsa verde inside of a fried corn tortilla, and you gotta have that beef broth consomme on the side. My favorite, the Texas Twinkies. A bacon-wrapped jumbo jalapeno stuffed with brisket, cream cheese, and jalapeno cheese. Go and get two of those bad boys with a side of their new ranch potato salad and maybe some tres leches banana pudding for dessert, and you are good to go. You want a whole brisket? You want a whole turkey breast? A whole pork butt? You want to put in that Easter order? A whole rack of spares? They have that as well. Any of the locations to stop by, they got two inside the globe. Arlington, Mansfield, Fort Worth, and the Farmer's Market on Harwood in Dallas. And, of course, you can always skip the line and order the book Barbacoa at HurtadoBBQ.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.